Dwight, thank you, and what a wonderful thought. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, when we walk through this world, we need to remember that the hand of God is reaching out to all of us as His children and even to the lost world with endeavors to bring us to Him. And we thank you all so much for being here this morning. We appreciate the attendance of all of you that are here. I think Dwight mentioned a moment ago that my lesson today is on cotton candy religion. How many of you like cotton candy? How many do not like cotton candy? I do not like cotton candy. I remember we used to have the county fair here in Palestine, and it was out there actually where the post office is now and back up in that area. And every year in September, there was a vendor there that had cotton candy. And, a lot of people would go over to get some of that cotton candy. And you know what? It is sweet, but it is spiritually empty. When I think about cotton candy religion, there are a number of things that come to my mind. How many of you have ever noticed a raccoon eating cotton candy? You ever seen that? No. Someone told me the other day that when they were real young, and I won't indict anybody here with this morning, but they were talking about the fact that they would get a thing of cotton candy, and they would put it out there where the coons were coming up, and they would lay it right beside a bowl of water where they could drink. And he said, actually laid it there. You know, coons always want to wash everything they eat. I don't care what it is. And the coon would go over there and get that cotton candy, and he would come back, and he would put it in the water, and it would just dissolve. And the coon would go, he's trying to figure out what happened to it. Well, a lot of preaching today is like cotton candy. Big, loud, colorful, but contains no substance. It's just a lot of hot air. And, isn't that a sad thing when we think about it? Cotton candy comes in all kinds of flavors, any flavor that you want. The same thing is true in religion. You can run the gamut. I mean, you can find flavors of faith and make a choice. And Christians who don't study the Bible will actually fall for false doctrine and false preachers. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, as Jesus taught, they are ravening wolves. I like the words of Paul to Timothy regarding this subject in 2 Timothy 4, 3, and 4. He said, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto myths. And isn't that a shame? But it happens in our world today. Why can't we just take the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, and abound in what Christ actually teaches? And as I've told you before, God did not call you to follow Christians, other Christians, but He called you to follow Jesus. And we really have to avoid those who teach things that are not consistent with the Word of God. Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 7, He said, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But small is the gate and narrow is that road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The cotton candy gospel offers a broad, easy road, but it's one that does not lead to life. You know, it's just made out of sugar, folks, and hot air. That's all it is. Well, sometimes the preaching and the teaching of a lot of religions tell you certain things that are not consistent with God's word. It's sweet, all right, but it's just hot air. It's just hot air. Now, there's some things that I want you to know about cotton candy religion. Number one, the cotton candy gospel promotes instant gratification. You know, when people pray sometimes, they want God to immediately answer their prayer. And we have a lot of people today that listen to the gospel and they want instant gratification. We call it a health and wealth gospel, a name it and claim it, a blab it and grab it, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of people are preaching a health and wealth gospel. That is, everything's going to be all right in your life. You're always going to be healthy. You don't have to go to the doctor anymore. You're always going to be wealthy. All the money in the world you'll never want for anything. And isn't it interesting that God teaches the opposite? He teaches the opposite in telling us that there are times you're going to get sick. You're going to suffer in life. And there are times that maybe you're going to be hungry because you didn't have enough money. But a lot of times people reach for that gratification immediately. We take our bites and each one leaves us wanting more. That's the way it is with cotton candy, isn't it? I mean, you take a bite of it, one bite's not enough. It's kind of like Lay's potato chips. You eat one of them, you got to have another, they say. Well, people want more, and as the promise dissolves into reality, this is just a little bit of sugar. There is no nutritional value to it, and there is no true satisfaction other than the taste. That is it. And you'll want it. You'll want more and more of it. And it is a shame that people do not follow the teaching of the Word of God and just adhere to the truth. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 18 to 19, that we're not to add to the Word of God, nor are we to take away from it. But we have a lot of people today that are taking away from the Bible, striking it. It's kind of like they read it and they say, well, I don't like that, and they scratch that out. Or they say, well, I like this, but I don't read about it in the Bible, and they start adding it to the displeasure of our God who is in heaven. And the end result of that, or the outcome, is found in Revelation 22, 18 or 19 also. When it says, you know, that person that adds to the Word of God, the plagues that are written in the book shall be added unto his life, and his name will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life and out of the holy city. You know, we're real nutritional conscious today, I guess we are. Audrey and I are. We try to eat foods that are high in protein. I learned a long time ago from her and that sugar only satisfies you for just a few moments. It gives you a sugar rush, and it really doesn't satisfy you. You got to have sugar. You eat one Snicker bar in the morning, you got to have another one after lunch. I know what I'm talking about because it's happened to me. And I've tried to cut back on a lot of the sugars that people eat in life. But when it comes to religion, there are a lot of people that grasp for that sugar-coated gospel preaching. They're kind of like those of Isaiah's day who said, preach unto us smooth things. Preach unto us things that are palatable and sweet and things that we like. And God, why, God says the opposite. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could look for the spiritual, nutritional value in sermons that we hear, or Bible class lessons? And wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone who stood in the pulpit, including myself, would have to take a test as to whether or not you are preaching the truth or you are preaching error? You know, there are a lot of foods that have a lot of that are high in protein. You know what I'm talking about. And the worst foods that you can eat, you can look up here and see what I'm talking about. Potato chips, not real good for you. Sorry about that, David. I know you're a distributor, but anyway, it's not real good for you. Fried fish, we were talking about that earlier. I like catfish, but it probably isn't the best thing in the world for us. But I have learned and observed that you are what you eat. And we have to learn to live on God's word. Remember Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread alone? But what? By every word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me tell you the dangers of the health and wealth gospel or the cotton candy religion. It is simply untrue. As our president would call it, fake news. You know, you hear a lot of things on the newscast in the evening or maybe in the morning. And you think, well, boy, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And then you find out in the afternoon that it wasn't true. You go on the internet sometimes and it'll tell you that someone has died and some either motion picture star has died out in Hollywood or some country music singer has died. And you think, well, my goodness, I saw one the other day. The guy died 20 years ago. But I thought, well, my goodness, I thought he was dead already. And he was. The cotton candy gospel or feel-good faith is a counterfeit version of Christianity. Have you ever noticed that the counterfeiter tries to make his counterfeit piece, whatever it is, as close to the original thing? How many of you have ever seen diamonds up against cubic zirconians? How many of you could tell the difference? I couldn't. I couldn't tell the difference between them at all. And, you know, their feel-good faith is that counterfeit version of Christianity that prioritizes, actually, more than anything else, the emotional comfort that we see. A lot of people want to go to church and walk away feeling good. Boy, everything was great and, you know, it's wonderful. Instead of feeling a conviction to serve God. You know, I've always believed that preaching the gospel is all about convicting the unconverted and changing their life and doing something to make them more successful in life, spiritually speaking. We need to get back to the Word of God. Jesus taught in John 8 and verse 32 that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And in John 17 and verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. And just as a child cannot live on cotton candy, we cannot survive or thrive on tiny amounts of God's word. And a lot of times you go to a place of worship and you don't hear so much about the word of God. It's, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay before God. And you won't hear a thimble full of gospel, folks. You won't. Child can't live on cotton candy. We can't survive on those tiny amounts of the Word of God. Whipped up and mixed with hot air and personality to create a confection that tastes good, but leaves you unsatisfied. Jesus said again, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Matthew 7. The cotton candy gospel actually offers a broad, easy road, but again, it does not lead to life. There's a second thing, though, I want you to know. And that is this feel-good faith comes at a steep, steep price. A lot of it is heresy, and Peter mentioned it in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, he says, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. That's what cotton candy religion is all about, and I don't want any part of it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in what man says. I want what God says. I mean, do you realize that in the day of judgment, the thing that you will be accountable for is not what someone said about you? You will not be accountable because man said something, but you will be accountable to God for you as an individual. And you know what it will be? According to John 12, it will be the Word of God. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now that's what God says. You and I'll be judged by the Word of God. No punches, no surprises, just truth as it is revealed in the Bible. It results in a shallow discipleship, that is, cotton candy religion, where believers never move beyond spiritual infancy. You know, the Bible describes those of us who are in Christ and we just became Christians, that we are spiritual babes in Christ and we should desire the milk of the Word, but then we move on to the meat of the Word and we start growing. But a lot of people will leave the Lord. It produces a faith that falters in the face of trials and leads to what we call a cultural conformity rather than holy living. I hope you're here tonight. I'm going to talk about cultural concepts and what the Bible teaches about them. Our lives should be governed by truth, not by our feelings. You know, we all feel certain ways. You know, I've heard people say, well, I just feel this way. Well, you know what? Being right with God doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to affect you or, you know, that God's going to accept your feelings the way you feel about certain things. Solomon said, there is a way that appeareth right unto man, and the end thereof is the way of death. That's why our lives should be governed by truth. Solomon said to buy the truth and sell it not. Hold on to the truth. While emotions have their place, authentic faith submits to the authority of the Word of Almighty God rather than being swayed by the feelings of our own sentiment or the sentiment of other people. There's that passage in Proverbs 14:12. It may appear okay on the outside, but truth is that it is not conforming to the Word of Jehovah. But cotton candy preaching, there is a biblical warning from God, for sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your soul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And then thirdly, it offers much but delivers so little. Now, mind you, cotton candy is pretty. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's amazing how they do it, isn't it? I mean, how they spin that sugar, and it just with hot air and with a little sugar, they can create something that a lot of people really like. But it is delusional. Look at this coon. Trying to find it. That's like many of the religions of our time. You know, when someone tells me something, I want them to back it up with the Word of God. Back it up with truth. Not your feelings, folks. It doesn't take long for cotton candy to go to nothing. And the same is true with false doctrine. It is true. And I would admonish you this morning, don't swallow false religion. And as we navigate the landscape of modern Christianity, it's crucial to be aware of specific doctrines and movements that often embody this cotton candy gospel. Isn't it a shame, but that's the way people live. Sometimes doctrines remind us of cotton candy. At first glance, it appears large, filling. Well, I mean, you think cotton candy, I mean, that much cotton candy is going to fill you up. But you know, you just reduce it down to what it really is. It's just a little bit of sugar. And that's the way it is with the gospel, isn't it? Sometimes people give you just a little bit of the gospel, and then they spin it. Remember Bill O'Reilly? He had a program that was called the No Spin Zone. Well, you know what? That's what the church is and should be. This is the No Spin Zone. That is God's people. Every Christian should be a part of the No Spin Zone. Cotton candy dissolves into an unhealthy little ball. Large. Some of them are small. Some of them are in between. Some are deep. Some are shallow. Professionally lay lead and everything in between. And the effects of cotton candy ministry dot the religious or the church landscape in today's world. There's a real difference, folks, between sound doctrine and false teaching. Some people say, well, if you just strike a balance between, it's all right. You know, a lot of people say that was the mores of society back during the day of the Apostle Paul. And all those things Paul said were not necessarily true of today. I believe that God's word is always true. It doesn't change. The Bible says, even of Jesus in Hebrews 13 and verse 3, that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It does not change. And Malachi even said of God in Malachi, thou who changes not. He hadn't changed. You know what's happened? The religious scene has changed. The landscape has changed. But truth is not changed. There are five teachings Christians should watch out for. What about this one? God wants me to be happy. You ever heard people say that? You know, I mean, you talk to people about coming to worship. You talk to people about being a part and active in the church. And then they don't want to do it. And they say, well, God wants me to be happy. And so since he wants me to be happy, you know what? God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. Have you ever heard someone say, follow your heart? Did you know the Bible said the heart is deceitfully wicked? Who can know it? Who can know it? We have to follow the words of Jeremiah chapter 17. And then, you ever heard people say, well, just speak it into existence. Whatever you want, just speak it into existence. And people say, well, God's going to deliver on that. Just speak it into existence. God didn't say that. Sometimes God delays the answer to your prayer for reasons unknown to mankind or humankind. But that's the difference between Christianity and cotton candy religion. Some people say, well, grace covers my lifestyle. If I want to live an ungodly lifestyle, grace is going to take care of it. I don't know how many times. I believe in the grace of God, folks. Let me tell you something. But I also believe in obedience. I believe that you and I have to live a life that is consistent with Christianity and what God taught. And then we must live your truth. We must live it all the time, not just part of the time. Don't be deceived by the erroneous false doctrine that has no substance but a lot of hot air. And don't you dare walk out of here this morning and say, that's all I heard this morning, a bunch of hot air. Yep. Looks pretty. It's amazing. People like it. But it doesn't satisfy. If you want to have a spiritual relationship with God that satisfies, why not become a Christian? Why not become a follower of God? Turning away from your sin. That's what repentance is. You can't amend that, folks. You can't change that. And you can't make it up. That's what God said. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, he said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said it within those three verses. He said it two times. Isn't that amazing? And he said that we're to confess or acknowledge our faith in Christ to be the Son of God. For if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And then in the book of Romans chapter 9, Paul says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then by being immersed in water baptism. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not what all religious groups teach. But they teach that a person must be baptized. Maybe this morning in this audience, or those of you that may be listening on Facebook or YouTube, have never been immersed in water baptism, we'd be happy to assist you in taking that step and making your life more meaningful. And so today, if we can help you and you're subject to the call of Christ, we invite you to come to Him now while we stand and while we sing.